My name is Emma Martin, and this is the Lazy Keto Mum Podcast. If you are looking for help with keto and low carb, you have come to the right place. Well, hi guys. I've got a really special guest who I have connected with from the other side of the world. His name is Mike Collins, and he is the founder of sugaraddiction.com. He wrote a book, so we are in good company. And the reason I am interviewing him or having a chat to him today is because he's pretty passionate about sugar, what it does to the body, and more importantly, how to get off it. So hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm well, Emma. Thanks for having me. I appreciate this. It's an honor to speak to our friends down under.
Yeah, funnily enough, I found you. Well, actually, your people found me, and I thought you were just perfect because even though we're on other sides of the world, our alignment is on the same path. So, I was reading that you've been off sugar for 32 years. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, I got sober 37 years ago. And I read a book about sugar blues, and I wanted to get healthy anyway. You know, I'm kind of a thin, athletic guy, and I'd gained a lot of, you know, 20 pounds for me was a lot. And it was nasty because I really felt like I was using drugs again. I mean, I was drinking, no exaggeration, 8 16-ounce Mountain Dews a day. They used to call me the Mountain Dew man at the store. And chocolate and candy and pizza and pasta. I wasn't eating any real food, really. And so I wanted to get healthy. And I read that book. That guy who wrote the book was married to Gloria Swanson, the famous movie star. I don't know. I don't know how it got in my head. But anyway, it took me a few years to get off of this stuff. And then I married a woman, and somehow I talked her into having kids. We ended up being twins. No sugar, no flour, no caffeine in the womb until they were 6 years old, it lasted. But so it's been an adventure, you know, over the years. I wrote the book, and the kids grew up kind of different than their friends and whatever. And they said I should write a book, so I did. And then I got involved in, I bought sugaraddiction.com, which is a domain name, you know, was back in 2009 or 10. But I was still working, and I didn't really, I gave out good information, but nothing really happened with it, kind of languished. But about 3 or 4 years ago, just before the pandemic, I was semi-retired, and I got into it, and I started coaching people and having these online meetings. And then the pandemic hit, and you know what happened during that? Like, people were comfort eating their head, you know, just running the stores out of flour and sugar. And it's just kind of exploded since then. So that's the short version. That's the podcast version, but I can answer any questions.
So what was it that actually prompted you to start? Like, was there a catalyst all those years ago?
The catalyst, I think, was lethargy, anxiety, weight gain, acne, rosacea. It was just me trying to get healthy again, you know? It was just me, like, the only thing I didn't want to have when I got sober was the big red nose that my grandfather had. You know, it's like I wanted to have, like, and it seemed to be worse. Maybe it was vanity, and maybe that's the answer. I don't know. But I just wanted to be healthy. And then I ended up being kind of a health nut, you know, like healthy exercise, good food and all that. But what I found on the other end of the spectrum here is that it's not about really the food. It's about an addiction. It's about a substance use disorder. And that kind of shocked me a little bit. And it fit perfectly with me because, you know, I had an addiction recovery background, but it was just the every day I do this, I get more and more convinced that a diet has nothing, weight loss, that stuff's not part of this equation, really.
You're right. It's we think of it like diet, but it's actually more about health and metabolic health and how our bodies crave the sugar. And when you get off it, you're like, wow, what just happened?
Yes.
Was it like that for you?
Absolutely. And that's it's same with the folks that we work with. I mean, we do these surveys, right? And you would think everybody always comes to me for weight loss. Like that's what, or if they've got a type 2 diabetes diagnosis or whatever, they know they got to quit now, you know, or they're a couple hundred pounds overweight or whatever. And I got started in late stage food addiction. People, you know, overweight, losing limbs, going blind, they still couldn't quit, right? But when we do the surveys, people, like weight loss is number 3 or 4 on the list. The number one is their brain clears up. They're like, they can focus better. They remember better. The headaches are gone. And their emotional management system, which is the core of our work, is finally operating without a substance to hijack it. You know what I mean? It's like, we all know what comfort food is. It's kind of a joke, but it isn't a joke. It really isn't a joke. We have been managing our emotions since we were babies with a substance, right? Because it's freely available to even to children, don't even really need money most of the time to be able to score some. Yes, a decidedly druggy term, but, and our job is to cleave that apart, to let them separate this idea that sugar, which is in 80% of the food products, is a food at all, because it's a drug, plain and simple.
Yeah. And I think most of us kind of understand that, but it's one thing to understand it, and it's another thing to get off it.
Right.
So what did you, and you know, it's at what, $1 a kilo, I don't know what a kilo, 2.5 pounds over in your neck of the woods. You know, it's a cheap drug.
It's a cheap drug.
Yeah, and we love it and we crave it. And if you like, I always think biologically we're looking for that because that's how we survived ancestrally. We'd climb trees and go looking for honey and the berries, but you know, the berries were tiny as opposed to massive now. You can literally open the door of the supermarket fridge and stick them in your trolley and away you go.
Right.
What is it? So I mean, they're catering to us as well. What are the, how did you get off sugar when it's, you know, you're surrounded by it?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question there. That's the one where people think the answer has been brainwashed into us by the $78 billion diet industry. Eat less, exercise more. That could be the that's the furthest thing from the truth. It just does not work. Moderation doesn't work for true addicts, for people who are biochemically not able to stop when they start. And so what happens is the first step is the withdrawal process, and there is real withdrawals. You know, we try and get people off caffeine as well. So flour, sugar, and caffeine. And when you do all three of those, go from what we call a standard American diet, which I'm sure is a standard Australian diet, the SAD diet, you know, you're incapacitated in days 3, 4, and 5. It's tough. You're hurting, your headaches, and you're starving, and you're irritable, and you're hungry all the time. And it's just you need to sleep basically and hydrate and do stuff. So once you get through that, and that can take, depending on your habit, between, you know, 1 and 30 days, just depends. I mean, if you're someone who's never been thin and you were overweight as a child, it could take as much as 20 or 30 days before you're kind of the sun comes out again, you're feeling better. But once we get you through that, and you got to think nicotine here, not heroin or alcohol, it's not impossible or not doable. Well, but people do really slip around in that. That's hard, you know. When they get to the other side, the core of our real work begins, which is this reconfiguring their emotional management systems, meaning they've literally used this product since they were babies to manage how they feel, pain, worry, fear, anxiety. They're all of it medicated with sugar. Our parents did it to us, right? And so once you're off the stuff, the real work begins. Now, look, you know, the literature is so replete with this. 95% of people who lose any amount of weight gain it all back in the first year, right? And then some, they add some, right? Well, why does this happen? It happens because anybody can white knuckle for 30, 60, 90 days no sugar. And that's what all the diet books say. Like, get off the white stuff. And so when they do that and they run into a situation of finances, relationship, work, or say possibly, and a lot of our work is old trauma coming up that they never really work through. They just use sugar compulsively to keep tamping it down. Somewhere between the detox and, you know, 60 or 90 days, the common refrain is, I think I'm losing my mind, because now they're feeling their feelings that they put off and never really learned to deal with on a day-to-day basis, right? And they've literally, like learning to walk again, got to start again, and how to, you know, self-soothe themselves, get a manicure, pedicure, a massage, a walk, a yoga class, a hug, a call a friend. They've got to have new techniques that do not involve a substance, right? Do not involve, we call it effort-based dopamine versus substance-based dopamine, right? Effort-based dopamine took 10 million years to evolve, to get sex and food to recreate the species. Well, we learned to hack that with a substance by sitting on the couch and eating bonbons or M&Ms or whatever. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a real substance use disorder recovery. It really is. It's not a diet, and it's not a food plan, and it's not an exercise plan. If you're serious and that what I'm saying resonates with you because you've tried 10 times before to quit sugar and only lasted 3 or 4 days or a week, you know? So yeah, it's a bear sometimes at the beginning. I've got to think of another word. I'm not going to sugarcoat.
Pardon the pun.
but yeah, it's hard. It can be hard if you let it. If you don't have someone to guide you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And it is just the call of that sugar is so challenging. I've been sugar-free for 4 years, nothing like 32 or 37. Woo! And I know now if I eat it, I don't feel well. Right. And I can feel what it's doing I can almost feel it rising inside me.
Yeah.
But those first few days, I hit my head on the car door 3 times in a row, and I was foggy, and I was like, I am literally, you know, walking proof of what you just said. But the other side of that, when I came out the other end, my relationship with my daughter, and she's pretty much off sugar too, apart from the wrappers I find in her bin every now and again, but our relationship improved.
Yes.
We have the gap of emotion and mood now. And you know what women are like, you know, mood wise, you know, you've got a teenager plus a menopausal female, you know, so between us, like, ah, our relationship being off sugar is so calm.
Yes.
And we listen, we have the space to listen to each other. Have you found that's impacted your family as well?
Oh, look, I mean, there are two of my contemporaries that write very prolifically about what you're describing. That the, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg, was the irritability and upset in the relationship caused by anything in your relationship, or was it actually caused by a lack of dopamine and serotonin and not feeling well? I mean, one of them writes like she's still at almost 70 years old repairing relationships with her grown daughters because, you know, literally she became nicer. I've known her for a decade, and she is literally the hard edges have been sanded off of the woman, right? And she used, I mean, and there's others like this, and that's exactly what happens. You want to kick the dog. I mean, you're really irritable when you're in the cycle. You're like buzzed up and then irritable, buzzed up and then irritable, you know, and your dopamine is so depleted. And when I say dopamine, I mean the constellation of brain reward chemicals that a lot of people don't know about: serotonin, norepinephrine, GABA, adrenal glands, endorphins, and the big one, oxytocin, the bonding chemical, all affected by sugar, right? All affected by this little white powder that is so ubiquitous and so freely available to children. No legal, moral, or ethical worries about giving it to a baby. And people are wondering, why are these things happening to me? Why are my relationships messed up? Why is my weight and health messed up? And it's a challenge. And one I think the science is now catching up with. Before, it was kind of anecdotal. Cut the white stuff, you lose weight. Now it's like they're calling Alzheimer's diabetes 3. And we start to know. I mean, sugar, shrink. I got to say it right. I can't even pronounce it. Sugar shrinks your brain. Think about it. This is proven fact. They say that, now, like, my mother did not die of Alzheimer's. My mother died of sugar addiction. I was there. She wouldn't eat real food. And with no filter, no, you know, her brain compromised. All she wanted to eat was sugar. You know, it was, anyway, again, I get on my soapbox. I don't mean to, but.
I'm right there with you. I made a TikTok yesterday about type 3 diabetes being, yeah, you know, dementia, Alzheimer, the brain being insulin resistant. And like you, I think people need to know. Yeah. I just don't think. I mean, you're right, it's catching up, but people just don't understand that when you're drinking sugar or eating sugar, like what's happening in the brain is deteriorating. And it's literally, you're starving it. So you get all these dead patches. And anyway, see, I'm on my soapbox too. So I think, you know, your passion is necessary.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, there was a woman in the 90s in here. I don't know if it ever made it over there. Her name was Susan Powder. And she used to say, stop the insanity. She was just like really passionate about it. And, you know, sugar and weight loss and stuff. But I mean, most of the people that I've spoken with are scientific types and they know what the sugar does to the body. Now, the recent 3 to 5 years is what the sugar's doing to the brain. And we all know that the brain's leading the show here, right? And so, and that every day that I do this, I know deep in my soul that this is a substance use disorder recovery, not a weight loss program. And people have a hard time with that because, you know, they think of an addict as someone under a bridge with a brown paper bag on their bottle, you know, and it's not the case. I mean, most of the people we work with are very successful in other parts of their lives, but they just can't seem to beat this one. You know, this is something that seems to like hold them back. They can do a keto diet. They can do a vegetarian diet. They can do the South Beach diet. They can do all these things, but the sugar always derails them, you know, and it derails their progress in a lot of ways. One of the beauties of this whole thing is watching people's self-esteem return. And because they've been able to, A, keep a promise to themselves that they keep making every morning and then failing in the afternoon, you know, their self-esteem returns and their ability to do different stuff in their life, to take risks and whatever, get a new business or a new degree or whatever.
I mean, you're right. I think that's been the biggest benefit looking back at this journey. And I'm keto, I'm lazy keto, but I'm basically off refined sugars, refined carbs, and I just eat real meat, cheese, butter, green veg. And what happened was I'd been on this diet cycle for so long. And you know, the losing weight thing that you talk about, that was me. I just couldn't work out why I kept failing. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm a failure. Why can't I do this? I've fallen off another diet. And it becomes about the diet and the weight loss.
Yeah.
And then when you get off the sugar and the things that turn into sugar, all of a sudden, you're right, your self-esteem comes back and you're like, oh, my God, this is who I was born to be. Like, goosebumps just talking about it. So you're so right. You would see that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, they say genius is only pattern recognition, right? And I've been blessed to see tens of thousands of people fail and tens of thousands of people succeed. It's not a matter of, like, they can't do it. It's not, the timing is not right for them. Maybe in their family, in their work situation, whatever. There is not time. But we keep banging the drum and people end up coming back, because they realize that they know all these other people that have succeeded. So, you know, we see it all the time. And it's no longer a mystery to me. You know, it's no longer, like, I always use this analogy, and I don't know if it's right. Maybe you can comment on it. But if you and I were to sit down and start doing shots of gasoline, like, you might drop at 3, I might drop at 4, we might both drop at 8, who knows, right? But we're both going to drop sooner or later. You know, we're going to die. And with the science coming out now, this sugar, what I call internal cutting, this like internal self-harm, where the science says, you keep blasting this stuff through your system, you're going to get this metabolic syndrome. And here's the constellation of diseases that are around metabolic syndrome. And it's just a matter of time. You know, whether you're an addict now or what we call a harmful user, who with a reset might be able to enjoy it once in, you know, once or twice a year in moderation. But you're gonna, without checking this part of your life and diet, there will be problems if you don't pay attention to it. So,
yeah, you're right. And I think also one of the other things, and you sort of touched on this, and I've got a question I want to ask you about. Okay, well, that's fine, but how? But I'm just going to park that for a second.
Sure.
When you watch somebody, say, walk into a bakery and they're big and you're going, okay, why don't you just stop yourself?
Yeah.
It's not that easy, is it? Because when your cells aren't getting fed properly and you're insulin resistant from the sugar, and they're literally, you have no willpower.
Right.
And my question is, you know, we're quick to judge these people,
yeah,
but how then do, if I'm sugar addicted,
yeah,
how do I get off?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I was on a podcast this morning, and a young guy, keto guy, he brought it up, and I think I didn't really look at it this way for a long time. I mean, I knew it, but it's really acceptance and gratitude, first of all, but acceptance first and gratitude second. Acceptance of the concepts and the constructs that we've been articulating here today, which is, this is a body that took 10 million years to create in its current form. And it has run headlong into a food system that took an unfortunate bad turn in the 80s when high fructose corn syrup came in the diet, and the acceleration of the sales of sugar in foods, and the acceleration of businesses who, it's easy to grow a profitable business on an addictive process or an addictive product, be it sugar or caffeine, in Starbucks example and other examples like that. Really easy to grow a business that way. And why wouldn't these guys grow a business? That's their job. They grew a business, right? And so you have to accept the idea that the possibility exists is that the human form, the human body, was not meant to ingest the amount of sugar that we have, and that it does play a pivotal role. And the reason you can't get off it is because it is affecting your nucleus accumbens. It literally is pulling blood from your rational brain down to your limbic brain to, like, get the good feelings. And this is a process that's been drilled into you since you were a baby, maybe in the womb, and drilled into your brain, so that when you, I'm still fascinated by cravings, where, like, your entire being, your stomach, your tongue, your car, everything leads to you re-ingesting to get the feeling, right? Not for the sweet taste on the mouth, but for the feeling that it gives you temporarily, 5, 10, 15 minutes of just peace, right? And that's what, if they can accept this as science, not me, not Mike Collins telling them, but as science with hundreds of proven studies that this is what's happening, then they can actually move forward. So
it really is about rewiring the brain. Yes. And it's about, so then what do you practically do? So how do you practically stop those cravings? Like, what can you actually physically do to change that? So gratitude is great. Obviously, we know that rewires things. Like, I remember my grandma taking me, we'd go to the beach, and I was only little, and she'd take us to the ice cream shop. And that was a reward or was a habit that was built in. And I shared in a podcast the other day that the smell of those waffle cones and the smell of those ice creams makes me feel loved.
Yes.
And the only way I could get off that was to replace it with something else to feed my face with, maybe like cheese or good quality foods that didn't have that insulin, you know, that you're talking about this spike.
Yeah.
What other things can you do practically? So for somebody listening going, well, okay, I've got this bag of, I don't know, lollies or candy in my cupboard that calls me, aside from throwing it out. We don't want to waste food.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
That's like throwing out cocaine.
Thank you. You're right. And that's hard, right?
Right.
Because we're going, oh, no, this makes me feel good. I can't possibly part with that. What do we do?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. There is a level of you have to get through some withdrawals. And what you're describing is, you know, two things. One, you have to set yourself up for success. And the only way in the early days is to clean the house out of all these products. You can't have them around because they will talk to you from the refrigerator or the cupboard. They will talk to you and they will call you and you will, it's alone, left to your own devices, it would be hard to resist. So that's the first step. The second step is that, you know, people think that exercise is for calorie burning, that you're supposed to burn off calories. And when you find out that you couldn't burn off this diet that you're on. I literally have had an Australian Olympic athlete. Okay. I got two coaches that are ultra marathoners who ran hundreds of miles, biked 500 miles and still carried 30 extra pounds. Couldn't get it off until they quit sugar. It's not the diet. You know what I mean? The reason you use exercise is to rebuild and rewire your emotional systems, your feel-good brain chemicals. That's what you use the exercise for. Obviously, hydrate. Look, it's so funny that way down on my list is make sure you eat the right food. Duh, who out there comes to you not knowing this? They all know this. They're better researched than me. They know about what to eat. But we've got to get them into another system that doesn't say eat less and exercise more and tell them why they're exercising. They're not exercising to burn off the donut. They're exercising to help rewire their brain. And yes, you got to clean out the house. But here's the big granddaddy of them all, okay? And this is important. So it is, I would say, bordering on impossible to do this alone. We are tribe animals, and the social underpinnings of sugar is love and sugar is relationships and families and what have you is so strong. They don't want you to be different. They don't want you to leave that tribe. And if you do leave that tribe, there's literally an unconscious pullback. Oh, just have one. I baked this for you. That kind of stuff, right? What you have to understand is that you have to, in this society, this is why Alcoholics Anonymous worked 60 years ago, because you could not be alcoholic 60 years ago. It wasn't like Rob Lowe and, you know, all of the famous recovering, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis and all the famous recovering people where recovery is kind of cool now. This is kind of where sugar is, right? Like you quit smoking, good job. You quit drinking, congratulations. You quit sugar, and they're like, what are you doing? You got to have carbs. You got to, blah, 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 you know, why? And you get this pushback because then they'd have to look at themselves. So what I'm getting at is you have to join another tribe of people who have done the research, who are in various stages, from the educator to the coaches to the people who are actually doing it, and that you can get them on the phone or you can text them or message them and help support you in your early days, right? And then on the other side, what keeps you off of it is then helping other people do the same thing. You know, what is it? You get to, you teach what you need to learn kind of thing. if you're 6 months, you can help someone 6 days, you know, and it's just this virtual positive cycles, upward spiral of people helping each other that is quite honestly the magic sauce, the secret sauce. And a lot of people, I'm an introvert, INFJ, look it up, top lowest 1% of people, introverts, right? Everybody is a little nervous to go to the new school, go to the new whatever, you know, the new family, the new gathering, the new family when you get married, the whole thing, you know, you're a little nervous to join another group of people because you don't know how you'll fit in. And so you've got to work through that stuff. You've got to work through that angst to be with a crowd. And you don't have to leave your family of origin or your workplace or whatever, but you do have to join another group of people who believes, as you and I have through this whole conversation, that what we're talking about is A, scientifically backed, and B, backed by lots of people that have had success. So yeah, it's new. You have to think of in our lifetime, like drinking and driving, smoking cigarettes or smoking in public, condoms in bathrooms, these things that were just part of society. But then the scientists and the science brought this great information forward, and you know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving is formed, and you know, getting off cigarette stuff, and it just evolved, and we could watch the societal change over that time period. And that's what we've got to do with sugar. You and I have got to keep banging the drum, telling people that this is, it's not A, their fault, and B, you can do it. You can get off this stuff. You can get off this roller coaster anytime you want.
Yeah, right. And I think looking back at the journey, so, and you would have seen this massively, you know, 30 years ago, but even just in the last 4 years, when I first started banging on about it, like you were saying, and I started sharing my journey on Facebook because I'm like, right, I'm doing this. And that was my accountability. ENFP here, by the way. So no wonder we're talking similar languages. We're literally like pieces of the puzzle. People were kind of going, I think she's going to die, you know, but now, like 4 years now, and they're still watching, waiting for the fall off. But when you share and you help others, that fall off doesn't come because you've now got the accountability of that tribe. You're right. Yeah. So you mentioned earlier when we were having a chat about a summit. What, tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, this is our 10th anniversary coming up January 16th. For 7 days, we bring out the best experts on the planet, a few fellow Australians. What's his name? Dr. Gary Fetke, wonderful guy down there. A couple of other folks, and Robert Lustig and Chris Palmer from Harvard, new book, Brain Energy, a lot of good stuff. And then another 50 or so. We're going to have 50 or 60 speakers. It's all free. You know, we bring you 8 hours of programming every day for 7 days. It's really pretty amazing stuff. And what's happened to me over the years is this, what Chris Palmer calls in his book, Brain Energy, this kind of unified theory of, see, all these guys have been studying basically in anonymity in their own labs, and both with humans and with animals, and discovered what sugar is doing to the brain and the body, right? And then the group of addiction coaches and addiction recovery folks and coaches in general, we all meet together. And you know, just give our, you know, opinions are a little bit different, but at the end of the day, the bottom line is sugar is not going to be any good for you over the long term in any amount, you know, other than just a touch, you know. And so it's just been wonderful. I mean, I'm kind of selfish in that I just get my questions answered, and the science gets you know, like just an example, the science of fructose has been exploding in 2 years. Just exploding. I mean, I didn't know. Gary Fetke told me 2 days ago that it really didn't even get understood until 2010. And I'm like, how different sugar and glucose are. And just for your audience, you know, glucose is one half of the sugar molecule, the table sugar, and fructose the other. And fructose is heavy in the hybridized fruit. And it's just, people don't know about fructose, you know? And so, yeah, we've just, I just love it. I mean, it's a biannual thing. We do it twice a year, and we just bring everybody together and talk sugar. And it's free. So you just got to go to, you know, Quit Joe. You'll leave something in the show notes there, and they can just link over there and check it out. So
anything that helps people get off this terrible, I guess it is a drug, isn't it? And it just wreaks so much havoc, and yet it's seemingly so innocent. So I think you and I definitely need to keep banging the drum and telling people about this. If you guys want more information, you can check out the notes. You can check out us on social media. Where would people find you, Mike?
Sugaraddiction.com.
Perfect. Go check it out, guys. There's a course there too, I saw.
Yeah, there's a free book. It used to be on Amazon. We brought it home, and we give it away free now just because I want to reach 1 million people, and I got a few to go. So, you can check out the book, and there's a challenge, the January challenge. You can probably still get in it depending on when this airs, but everybody wants to do their New Year's resolutions, and they always kind of fall off it by the 15th or the 20th. So that's why we start the summit on the 16th. And it kind of hopefully keeps everybody, I'm calling it sugar-free January. Hope everybody keeps everybody motivated through the, because everybody, like, they all make the number one health, or the number one resolution, period, is weight and weight loss. So we try and get them all the way through January. If I can get you to January or Valentine's Day, then you got a shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we got a lot of resources. We got a lot of resources for that.
And I think you're right. Hooking in with the tribe, I'm in. Like, count me in. I'm up for anything like that, because I think anything that helps people with this, guys, the food pyramid and what we've been told over the last 50 years, how's it working? It's not. So take a little bit of advice from what this amazing man is saying, and just try it. So one very final question for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting off sugar, fast or slow?
Fast or slow?
Mm-hmm. Do we do it in one go and just go cold turkey, or do we wean ourselves? I can
nuance it a little bit. So you're going to go through withdrawals twice if you do flour and sugar separately and caffeine. You're going to go, and the withdrawals are not that much different. It's just, you might as well just pull the Band-Aid off and just do it. Just go. Pick a date.
Rip it off on the 1st of January.
Pick it off. Pick a date. Plan it. Be able to rest for 3 or 4 days, like a weekend or something like that. Time off from work or what have you. Have a little bit of home spa day for those first few hard days. But after that, you should be able to work and do everything. But, rip the Band-Aid for sure.
Yeah, rip the Band-Aid and enjoy what the benefits are. And that's better longevity, better health, vitality. Did I miss anything?
No. Well, one woman I used to love, she passed away. What's her name? Anyway, she wrote a couple of books about it. She chronicled over 100 like maladies that sugar causes, heart disease, kidney disease, diabetes. I mean, it goes on and on. And now with Chris Palmer's work, we're looking at his unifying theory is that mental illness, the number one disability on the planet, is a metabolic illness caused by these drugs, caused by the diet, the standard American diet or standard Australian diet. And it's just now coming to fruition where people use the ketogenic diet for this kind of mental wellness. And that's so exciting because, intuitively I've known this forever, but now there's science, lots of science behind it.
When I was at Low Carb Down Under, we had all of the people you're talking about. So that was June or July this year. And there were literally on the screen in front, all the studies about mental illness, sugar, and the carbohydrates that turn into sugar. And I'm looking at it there on the screen, research. Documented research on mental health and sugar. Yeah. So it's coming.
They've used this type of diet for epileptics and for a long time. And it just kind of got, the research kind of got lost. So Dr. Palmer's bringing it back. But there's lots of other guys on the summit, new guys too, new people that no one's ever heard of that's kind of our forte, is digging these scientists out and doctors out of the woodwork. And interestingly enough, doctors with their own story of weight loss who have turned their back, like Dr. Fetke, on the quote unquote establishment, you know what I mean? And it's funny, in the United States, they haven't tried to go for licenses like Dr. Fetke and Dr. Noakes in South Africa, but I think they will someday, maybe, I don't know. Like Ken Berry, we had Ken Berry on one time, and I heard him at a CARB conference, and he says, I want them to come for my license. Like, I want them to try, you know?
Actually, his book, Lies My Doctor Told Me, I think that was one of the first books I actually read, and I've followed him since. But yeah, if he's talking, I'm there.
Yeah. I mean, he was on the last one. He's not on this one, I don't think.
I'm sure there's replays. I'll dig them up.
Those replays. You'll get the replays if you want.
Amazing. Hey, thank you so much for your time. I mean, we could probably talk until next December.
We could. We are definitely on the same page. And it's great to meet a fellow drum banger, you know, get out there and get the message out. Because that's what it takes. It's a grassroots thing. It's never going to happen from the corporate entities. It's never going to happen from the governments. We have to, you know, the changes from the ground up. I'm, you know, one of my heroes is Candy Leitner, the founder of MAD. Like, public sentiment did not turn until her daughter died and this thing happened. You know, when I was young, they just patted you on the head and say, just don't get caught drinking and driving. But today, you know, you're a pariah. If you're smoking outside of a building, you're not accepted in normal society, you know? And so I like to see the societal change, and that's what we're aiming for, grassroots wise.
Yeah, it's a big boat to change, but together we can push it and spin it around and make a big impact. So thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me. It was amazing.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it. And like I said, I don't usually get to talk to someone who is, you know, on the same page 99% of the time when we're talking. They're like, you know, kind of curious about the stuff sounds a little bit far out if you come from the diet world, you know?
Yeah, it absolutely can. I think that's the biggest challenge, isn't it? Teaching practitioners and nutritionists and dietitians that what they know might be wrong.
Yeah. And the courage that it takes for those guys to reverse field, you know, the Noakes and the Fetkes, where they changed their mind and they, I don't want to say atoned for their sins, but they say, this is, I was wrong. They have courage enough to say I was wrong and here's what's right, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? Well, thank you so very much. Have the most awesome night there. I so appreciate your time, and let's do it again.
Okay. I love it. So pleasure to meet you, and we will talk real, real soon.
Amazing. Thanks, Mike.
Bye for now.
Bye.